Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and co-parents of all ages, this podcast is for you. Introducing in the center ring, the amicable divorce expert, Judith Weigel.
Today, for the amicable divorce expert celebrity divorce series, we're going to focus on Bethany Frankel. She represents a group of women that out-earn their husbands, and it's not easy. So this is about, can high-achieving women have it all with one person? Years ago, when Bethany started on The Real Housewives of New York City, she was saying to Jill, one of the castmates from the first season, I want to have it all. I kind of want to be like Martha Stewart, but married. I want to have it all. I want to have a great husband. I want to have a great family. I want to have a great career and a business. Well, she had all of it, but not with one person. And I remember when she was saying that, I thought, okay, this is great. You know, I love to see enterprising people. But with women, you're walking a tightrope when you out-earn men. So maybe you can have it all if that one person is also in the same high net worth category as the woman is. But when the woman significantly out-earns the man, even though the man may make a really good yearly income, the tendency is for the woman to look down on her man for not either exhibiting the drive necessary to be a multimillionaire or make more than a good average income, respectable income. It's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the type quadruple A person, which by the way, Bethany is, high achievers who compare themselves to their men. We can't help it. It's the way it is. We always compare ourselves to people, and we're always going to compare ourselves to our husband, even if it's a traditional marriage. And the woman stays home, the man goes out to work. You will compare what each of you does in the day and what's more important and who should have more sympathy at the end of the day, right? I think so. So I wanted to read you a very brief article on women and divorce rates who are higher earning than their husbands. And I'm focusing not on gay and lesbian marriages, on heterosexual marriages, because this only comes into play, I think, with heterosexual marriages. You can argue with me if you want, but I think that's the way it is. So this article is titled, Divorce Rates Affected by Women Out-Earning Husbands. Relationships between men and women are evolving. While much of these changes are welcome, there is no denying that some people are able to manage them better than others. As women continue to excel at their careers, there are many couples that see traditional gender roles flip. The women are earning more money than the men. If this describes you and your partner, you might have concerns about how this will affect your relationship in the long run. Though it is not a guarantee, researchers are warning that when women out-earn their husbands, it raises the risk of that marriage ending in divorce. Changes in the air. The most recent findings from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that over a third of wives in the United States are earning more money than their husbands. A third of wives in the United States are earning more money than their husbands. That's significant. Though this is welcome news for many people, there are still very strong societal norms that say men should be the family breadwinners. Further, it could make a couple more likely to divorce. When a man doesn't work full-time, he and his wife have a 33% higher risk of divorce. Or when a man doesn't earn as much as a woman. These findings seem to line up with pervasive attitudes that say it is the man's job to earn money. Well, it's everybody's job to earn money in my book. Only 25% of respondents to a Pew survey think it is extremely important for mothers to financially provide for their children, but 40% hold that same standard for fathers. Sorry, there's a typo in the article. but 40% think that those same standards are for fathers. Three quarters of survey respondents claimed that raising children is more difficult due to women being part of the workforce. Well, this is me talking. Yes, of course, raising children is more difficult. If both parents are out of the house and working, and the children need after-school programs, if you can afford it, they need a nanny, they need to go to other children's homes. So extra care has to be taken for the children between when they're out of school and when one of the two parents can pick them up. Though women's salaries are rapidly changing, people's beliefs about that fact, women should be at home, men should be earning money, or the difficulty in raising children is when both people work, these statistics are catching up to reality. Why would this affect divorce rates? Experts speculate that older generations believe Experts speculate that older generational beliefs about women's roles may influence how husbands and wives feel about one another's earning potential. The fact that women still frequently encounter a glass ceiling in the workplace can also convince men that it's normal and even preferable for them to earn more money than their wives. Well, how can you stop that? I mean, if both people are working full-time jobs, it really depends on the industry that you're in, doesn't it? What you earn, what the potential to earn is. Certain research also suggests that when a woman earns more than her husband, the couple will report her income as being 1.5 percentage points lower than what she actually makes. If the husband earns more, his income is reported at 2.9 percentage points higher. This is interesting. This may show that there are still expectations in place that the man should be earning more and the woman not as much. Well, okay, so that's interesting. Let's go on. Let's look a little bit of a time. So that lays the foundation. Let's look at a little bit of the timeline of Bethany's marriage, because there's one other little factor in here that will factor into your divorces, and that's the length of the marriage. So here's the timeline. Bethany met Jason Hoppe in 2009, and we actually saw it on The Real Housewives of New York City. They married in 2010 and gave birth to their daughter, Bryn, in March of that year. Separated in 2012, Bethany filed for divorce in January 2013. A custody agreement was finalized in June of 2014, followed by a financial settlement in July of 2016. Divorce finalized for real and without any other issues, one would think, in January of 2021. That's this year. Custody revised to sole legal custody to Bethany and primary physical custody to her too, because of inappropriate behavior around Bethany and Bryn by Jason. Okay. Short-term marriages are the most difficult marriages of all. And here's why. The marriage didn't last long enough to actually have reasons to divorce, like reasons that you see after living together a long time. The shorter the marriage, the worse the divorce. I see it all the time in my office. When you divorce in a very short-term marriage, like three and a half years, God, even less is worse, it's because your hopes and dreams have been dashed before you even get an opportunity to enact them. You don't have the opportunity to grow a little bit. Everything's so fast at the beginning of a marriage, especially if there's a child. And obviously, by the timeline, you realize Bethany and Jason got pregnant before they got married. But great, they got married, they had Bryn. So everything was fast, and Bethany was on this enormous fast track to succeed. And I'm going to read her background to you in a second. But just to finish this thought about why do short-term marriages become so difficult to deal with, it's because hopes and dreams are dashed quickly. We all have hopes and dreams when we get into a marriage. We have hopes and dreams that we formulated when we were younger. We have hopes and dreams that we formulate as we get older. Maybe we didn't talk about them enough, hard to say. And if both people are busy, oh my gosh, how can you catch a breath? So that's the timeline. And by the way, the timeline is slightly different depending on the articles that you read, but basically that's it. Now let's look at the aspects of the divorce that came up. And one in particular, I'm going to read you some statements from. So there was a prenup, and that's the article I'm going to read in a second. There was interim / temporary child support, change in custody, long-term child support, division of assets being the financial statement, and I have no idea how spousal support factored in because they were only married 3.5 years. Maybe the financial statement, being as wealthy as Bethany was so generous that spousal support is off the table. And I know in California, that's the case. If the settlement is huge, there's no spousal support. You can invest what you earned and make more money than spousal support. But I did a $25 million settlement some years ago. The people were so agreeable. It was a very long-term marriage. Their kids were teenagers. They split it down the middle, 12.5 each. No argument. It was a long-term marriage. The husband was a financier, knew how to make money, and just without disagreement said, let's just split everything down the middle. I can always earn more money. Love that. Okay, so those are the aspects of the divorce, and those aspects of the divorce affect all of you too. I want to read from this article regarding the prenup. I think this is so interesting what Bethany said, because this really addresses a high-earning wife and a less-earning husband, even though the husband is making a decent salary. So here's what she said when being interviewed in an article earlier this year for People.com, PeopleMagazine.com. And I quote, I ended up marrying someone who was just a regular person who seemed like they could handle all of what's going on with me, because believe me, she was already in it, in her career, and she was famous before they met, who could handle all of what's going on with me and being in reality television. Okay, so that's huge unto itself. Reality television. I mean, everybody gets divorced. It's the rare couple that stay married who are in reality television. It's uncanny. But if your relationship has holes, if your relationship has issues, going on reality television is your death knell. And apparently, Bethany and Jason had holes in their relationship. And she continues, I was sort of proud of myself for just marrying someone who had a simple life, and they didn't come from much, and so they would never want anything from me. Okay, footnote. Jason's parents were on the show. There were some scenes taken at his parents' house. Never saw where he lived in New York City. So his parents lived outside of New York City. They seemed like regular middle-class people. Excellent, lovely, caring, middle-class people. And I was thinking, gosh, knowing what Bethany's difficult childhood was like and the relationship with her mother, which wasn't good at all, and that played out on the show, Real Housewives of New York, I thought, this is great. She can be with somebody normal and learn what a normal life was like. But I think there was always money in Bethany's past. So I think she always had a financial leg up on Jason going into the relationship. I continue. Because this is Bethany's quote. Because this is just not the way it goes, people who don't come from a lot just are happy with that sort of small town life. And that would never really be a whole issue, the skinny girl mogul continued, adding that she, quote, had a lawyer that said to me about my prenup, it's terrible and I wouldn't let you sign this. Frankel then admitted that she believed that no one's taking anything from me, adding, I'm trusting and I just don't want to deal with this. And it was embarrassing. The word prenup was embarrassing to me. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. A contract when you get married, it's an uncomfortable, awkward concept. Okay, let me break this down. So marriage is a contract. Marriage is a financial contract between two people. The reason why you go to City Hall to get a marriage license or a government building is because it's a financial contract documented by the state that you're getting married in and overseen by the by some state that you're getting married in when you go to get divorced. So everybody listening, please understand that you are entering a financial contract when you get married. There is nothing about love in the eyes of the United States government, the state government in which you are getting married. Love has nothing to do with it. Like Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Absolutely nothing. It's all about the money. Okay, so the other thing, and I really feel for Bethany, what a sweet, kind thing that she said. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. I mean, the word prenup is horrible. That's from me, not Bethany. But I get what she's saying, and I'm thinking, God, that's so nice of her to even think like that, that she wanted to marry somebody who did not have the ambition that she did, who did not already have the financial means that she had, although Jason was supporting himself, supposedly. That's how he was represented on the show. And the fact that you were okay, Bethany, with being a higher earner and marrying a lower earner, that's great. That's wonderful. It makes it look like you're not in it for the money. You're in it for the love. And I mean, I support you for that. I really do. But that's not what turned out, unfortunately. So let me just tell you where Bethany was at when she met Jason, so you can really see the difference in what they both accomplished and really where they were both headed. So Bethany, when she moved to Los Angeles, started out as Paris Hilton's nanny. Isn't that interesting? So she was in the Hilton home. How she could not sharpen her business acumen, being around Rick and Kathy Hilton, would not be possible. Bethany is so smart. She's so enterprising. She's so hardworking. Her commitment to achieving her goals is unsurpassed by anybody I know. This woman has it going on. But to land in the Hilton home, oh my gosh, you're destined for success, Bethany. You really are. And then she started working for Merv Griffin Productions. Well, she was an actress and she was a production assistant, so she had a little taste of film and television production. But then she used her production skills for a higher paying job in event production in Los Angeles. It's a huge paying industry, events in Los Angeles. So she started working with Merv Griffin Productions. That's when I met Bethany and worked with her. And this was in the 90s. So I used to produce entertainment for the events industry. I was hired by Bethany on several occasions to produce entertainment for her events. Not only can I tell you, this woman has always been hardworking and enterprising, has always been into health, has always taken care of herself in terms of her nutrition and in terms of her physicality, working out. This was very, very important to her. And so not only do I feel lucky that I had the opportunity to work with Bethany for a few years, I have a sideline seat watching her grow professionally and knowing this woman is completely and totally consistent. I just had to say that because I really love the woman. Then she moved to New York City to open Merv Griffin Productions there. That didn't fly. The next thing I know, A few years later, she's on Martha Stewart's Apprentice show. And this wasn't mentioned in the Wikipedia overview that I wanted to read about Bethany and other articles, but I'm pretty sure she landed on the Donald Trump Apprentice show after that, because I noticed she was so much better at being on the Donald Trump show than on Martha Stewart. I don't know whether it was two very highly ambitious women knocking heads, or she just learned how to do television better. Probably both. She then went on the New York City Housewives, and that's when her career just flourished. That's when I learned that she went to culinary school, she became a natural food chef, and she started all these different businesses around that never really succeeded, but one step led to another. And in the world of high-achieving people, you fail a lot. You try things. And you learn from what you try, and you don't let failure get you down. You learn from failure or just not succeeding the way you want to succeed, and you just grow from that. And she's the perfect case. She was on Skating with the Stars. I think that's after she got married to Jason, because I remember when she had to get up and rehearse in New Jersey. She's living in New York City and then had to go to the skating rink in New Jersey to work out at ridiculous times. I can't remember. I guess, did they have Brynn at that time? I really don't remember. But I remember Jason being very supportive of that. This is important. He was very supportive of that, at least on camera. Then she dabbled in the talk show world. She was on Ellen DeGeneres, and then Ellen got her own talk show for a while, but that talk show world is hard. You have to be really acclimated to that. And I guess it just didn't work out. It wasn't supposed to work out. Then she had other talk shows. She had Bethany Ever After. That's where she got married to Jason. Then after that, she has Bethany and Frederick. Now she's into real estate. And Frederick from Millionaire Listing New York. She's on that show. And then there was some show called The Big Shot with Bethany. I have no idea what it was. Then she starts Skinny Girl, the lifestyle brand. Now, I remember the episode on the New York City Housewives where Bethany was in the Hamptons and she was having a drink with Luann Deliceps, one of the castmates on the show, and she ordered a Skinny Girl margarita. She designed this margarita without all the sugar because she's always been into health. And there it was. She premiered it on the show, and then eventually, when she was married to Jason, she negotiated her deal with, I call it Jim Beam, but Beam Global, but the Seagram's brand. And the amount of money she made, really, it varies back and forth from $120 million to $39 million. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I kind of think it was in six figures myself, but Jason helped her negotiate that deal. At least that was on camera. There were several episodes where Jason was integrally involved in negotiating that deal with her. So what she was doing was starting to involve him in her life. In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, when they had their first apartment, before the Soho Tribeca apartment. When they had their first apartment, Jason was walking in and out, interfacing with the staff. So she made Jason a part of her business early on. Then she writes four self-help books, ending with this new book, and I'm going to read you a couple quotes, called Business is Personal: The Truth About What It Takes to Be Successful While Staying True to Yourself. And it's going to be released in May of 2022. The truth about what it takes to be successful while staying true to yourself. Okay, so this is amazing. And this is what she learned truly from everything that she's experienced, including the divorce. But listen to what Miss Bethany did with her success. She started Be Strong, a disaster relief fund. And she went to so many different disasters, Puerto Rico, Houston. The girl was all over the place. She's philanthropic. She's doing great things with her ability to make money, her ability to organize, and with her own money. And I just love her for this. I just love her. And then recently she has a podcast called Just Be. It's a really good podcast. If you don't listen to it, listen to it. I did. It's wonderful. So here's a little bit of the article from Forbes. Again, this is a little window on when a woman earns more than a man. What is the thinking like? What happens? So let me just read this to you. So Forbes did a little advanced article on her, and here's what Bethany said. She said, so many people say it's not personal, it's just business. But it's like, it is personal because it's business. What could be more personal than something that you take away from your relationships, your family, your life, that you can't attend certain things? Some people say, if you love what you do, yes, I love what I do, but sometimes you've got to pull from within because you're exhausted and you've worked hard for many hours, and you still have to go on. That's why I always sort of just wanted to correct that saying, it's not personal, it's just business. It's very personal. Well, let's look at divorce, and let's look at what happens when a high net worth woman divorces a man, and then we've had the added element of short-term marriage. My view of marriage in type A people is this. I live in Hollywood, the land of type A. People in the entertainment business work round the clock. They also have families who they see infrequently. I always wondered why people create families if they aren't going to be with them. But at least on the New York Housewives, The Real Housewives of New York, Bethany seemed to make an effort to organize her business day around her daughter's activities as much as possible. So, okay, Bethany gets married, and I remember the day when I said to myself, she's going to get divorced. She's going to get divorced. There was a scene inside of her apartment where she said to Jason, and I don't know what preceded this conversation because, you know, things are edited in reality TV, but she said to Jason, I got mine. Now you go out and get yours. And when I saw that, I said, she's getting divorced. You have just humiliated your husband on national television. And even if it wasn't on national television, you've just humiliated him. I have so many people who come in the office and there's spousal support to discuss. Nobody thinks about spousal support when the man has to pay the woman. The woman just assumes they're going to get paid, right? It's what it is. In California, in divorce, the lower wage spouse gets to ask the higher wage spouse for spousal support to equalize the standard of living going forward. But when women out-earn men, when we have type A women in the office and they out-earn men, it's like caged animals. The idea that the man would ask for spousal support, like a lion wanting to devour the trainer. It's exactly what it's like. I've only had one woman in the office who said, I accept my responsibility. I know I'm supposed to pay. Just tell me what it is. Let me deal with it. One woman in 10 years. On the other hand, I remember this one couple, lovely couple. He always worked like $60,000 to $80,000 a year. She earned more because he loved his job. And he was building his retirement. He had standard hours. He came home. He cooked. He took the kids to their activities. He helped them with homework. He loved being a dad. He loved being a family man. He contributed, didn't miss any work, and she never said he did. She always agreed, no, he always worked. But she earned more. She was type A. she pushed herself and pushed herself and got more education and got more skills and talents and reasons to hire her and make more money. And she was a speaker. So when it came time for the spousal support discussion, she was appalled. And that's a quote. She was appalled that a man would be asking a woman for spousal support. So ladies, of course, I'm a lady. I want to earn as much money as I can, and I want all women to earn as much money as they can. But you have to realize that cultural norms haven't changed, and your level of expectation when you have to get a divorce is going to be the man won't ask you for anything, and that just isn't the way it is. Some men don't. Some men say, I really don't care. I earn enough money, I'm fine. And if there's no children, who cares? But when there's children and expenses, it seems to be that men do care a little bit more. And in the case where the gentleman who always earned a living, but his wife earned more and she was out speaking and he was really Mr. Mom, he actually said, because I said, please don't use the word fair. Please speak from the heart. Please explain why you're asking for spousal support. And here's what he said. He said, I thoroughly enjoyed coming home every day, cooking dinner, being with the kids, taking them to their activities. I really didn't feel disadvantaged by doing that at all. But I allowed you to go out and work. I allowed you, by not complaining about you not being around, to earn whatever you wanted to earn, to be whatever you wanted to be, to grow in any way you wanted to grow. I allowed you to do that. And so I would like to reap the rewards for that and equalize the standard of living. And that's how she finally accepted it. I mean, they fine-tuned the amount, they negotiated, but they eventually came to a number. But he said the right thing. And a woman would say that to a man. If a man didn't want to pay a woman spousal support, the woman would say, look, I allowed you to go out and earn all this money, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be a this, be a that. I allowed you to do that. I stayed home. I raised the kids. I took care of the house. I was happy to do it. But now we have to equalize the standard of living. And we do it through spousal support. And therefore, I'm requesting it. And once requested, it has to be paid. Unless you just did a $25 million split settlement, then it doesn't have to be paid. So I've always wondered why type A people, I want to have it all. I want to have a fabulous marriage, a fabulous family, a fabulous career where I make unbelievable amounts of money. I wondered how you really think it can work. Because there has to be give and take. There just has to be. And you have to understand women, if you are those triple type A's, quadruple type A's, that just don't stop. And Bethany just doesn't stop. God love her for that. You just can't marry the average man, as wonderful as that average man may be. You just can't do it. So now, Bethany is with men, more of her own ilk, driven entrepreneurs, high achievers with high net worth. At a certain point, both parties don't have to make the exact same amount of money, but they both have to meet a threshold in which no one would say, I have mine, now you get yours. So yes, you don't have to be making the exact same amount of money. When you're multimillionaires, you're multimillionaires. So at a certain point, you can do whatever you want. It's just the fact that you're in a certain seven-figure category, maybe eight. That really does make a difference. It really does make a difference. So about after this, after all is said and done, and Jason was seen negotiating the deal with Seagram's, Beam Global, that's the name. And there was lots of money on the table. There had to have been a decent settlement. But I don't believe Jason ever got over the humiliation. If I was reading this correctly when I was watching the show, I don't think he ever got over the humiliation. So now you have two things. You have a short-term marriage where hopes and dreams are dashed quickly. So there's anger, at least on one person's part, if not two. Like the lower earning spouse is always the angrier spouse. That's what I've seen in all short-term marriages. And then you have the issue of higher earning spouse, lower earning husband. Once their daughter Bryn was born, Jason was seen as very supportive of Bethany when she was moving forward with her high-profile career at the beginning of the marriage. So when did it go south and why? I actually don't know. But possibly Jason was only serving as a husband and dad and no longer part of Bethany's business life. And maybe that's the thing that did it. Maybe she froze him out of her business life and then that was the final straw. I'm just guessing on this one. But I want to move into, if this is your situation, if you're already married and you are a higher earning woman, lower earning man, how do you not turn the divorce tumultuous? Like, you're going to get divorced. Unless you really get couples therapy, unless somehow you can get over those cultural norms and the woman can accept, there's nothing wrong with your husband because he doesn't earn as much money as you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. As long as he earns a livable wage, and you have to earn a decent livable wage to live in New York City or Los Angeles, right? As long as you're earning a good livable wage and you're contributing to the household, why do you have to earn as much as the woman? Well, you don't, from your point of view. But most women at some point, depending on how much they make, are in this other stratosphere now. And you better look the part if you're the husband. You better act the part if you're the husband. You better be able to go to these high-level events. And when you're asked what you do, you better not be embarrassed about what you do. This is something that really has to be reckoned with. It really is. Or you're going to get divorced. It will become an untenable situation because the wife will never be home. The wife will be at more and more high-profile functions. And she'll have to be quite all right with whatever you do for a living. Well, what if you're a school teacher? I mean, there's no higher job than a school teacher to me. That's a tough job. Well, you don't make that much money as a teacher, even as a principal, compared to a Bethany money, compared to seven figures, eight figures. No, wait a minute, six figures or seven figures. Yeah. You know, and you have to carry yourself a certain way. So how do you not turn a relationship tumultuous and a divorce tumultuous? Well, here's the first step. Talk before you marry to see the long-term goals, what they are for each of you. And be as honest as possible. Don't in any way change who you are to please your soon-to-be spouse. I don't care whether you're the man or the woman, higher or lower wage earner. You really need to be clear. So if you are a very ambitious, high-earning woman like Bethany, you better say before you get married, I kind of expect the same for you. I need to see that you have the same level of motivation that I do. I need to see that even though you do have a great job and you're supporting yourself, I need to see that you want more. Or maybe she didn't know to do that. See, I'm thinking she didn't know to do that. And most people, you know, you talk about, do you want children? Do you not want children? You know, should both people work when you do have children? How does that work? So there's a lot to talk about when you get married, but there's more to talk about. If you are the ambitious person, like a Bethany Frankel, there's a lot to talk about because you are not going to be home very often. Next, recognize that you may be participatory. Now, if you're getting the divorce, if you have the talk and the marriage still doesn't work out, if you don't have the talk and the marriage definitely doesn't work out, and you're getting divorced, recognize that you may be participatory in the drama that's being played out. Not to blame you. This is never about blame. but to mitigate the emotions that are killing the way in which the marriage is ending. Those emotions need to be sorted through before you file for divorce. So Bethany filed for divorce as soon as it got rocky. They didn't take a time out. They didn't separate and live in different places. They didn't go through what I call the emotional divorce. If you go through the emotional divorce first, which means you have the divorce talk, you set up temporary financial arrangements, temporary co-parenting arrangements, but you don't file yet. You go through all of the anger, the hurt, the blame, the, forgiveness. Do I say forgiving yourself, forgiving the other person? There's 7 stages of grief you have to go through with the emotional divorce. We'll do a whole podcast episode on that coming up. You have to go through the 7 stages of emotional grief. By the way, the 7 stages of divorce grief are 2 stages more than the stages of grief for death, because in death, you don't have to deal with the person anymore. You just grieve them. But in divorce, you actually have to deal with each other. So forgiveness and apology are the 2 extra points in the grieving in divorce. But if you don't go through that emotional divorce first, if you hit tough times, you're arguing, this isn't going to work out, and you immediately file for a divorce, you're sunk. You're going to spend so much money and so much time going through that divorce, it's going to be crazy. So look, Bethany filed for divorce January of 2013. The divorce became final January of 2021. 8 years. That's a heck of a lot of time to be in turmoil. And then think of Bryn, the daughter. Think of what she had to go through. Because apparently, I wasn't there, of course, Jason was so upset and maybe still reeling from everything that happened that he was very unkind, supposedly, to Bethany in front of Bryn. And that's what happens. If you don't work out your emotions yourself, to yourself, by yourself, with a therapist, you're going to involve your children. You're going to say unkind things about your spouse in front of your children. And it's really going to affect your relationship with your children, the one who says the unkind things. I know the person being spoken about, of course, doesn't want to be the victim, doesn't want to have unkind things said about them. But children are smart enough to realize at a certain point, oh, wait a minute. Mom never said unkind things about Dad, but Dad was always saying unkind things about Mom. Okay, I get it. I'm older. I'm cool. Point number 3, apologize if you recognize that you may have influenced the ill behavior of your husband. I'm talking to the women now. I go back to that scene when Bethany indicated that Jason should make more money. I always go back to that. That's where the apology should start. You embarrassed him on national television. And there's no getting around that. And anybody watching that scene should have cringed. I've got mine, now you go out and get yours. Well, wait a minute. He's been working with you in the business. He's been helping you out. He helped with the negotiations to sell the Skinny Girl brand. I mean, he's been doing things, right? You can't say that. You just can't say that. You can say, once the marriage has already taken place, if you haven't had the talk about long-range goals, I didn't know this was going to affect me as much as it does. That's honest. That's real. I didn't know that my drive to achieve, which is on steroids, by the way, was going to make me look at you differently as time went on. And it didn't take Bethany long to get to that point, I guess. But that's the kind of apology I mean. You know, just recognize that maybe you could have thought things through differently. maybe life just took over and this is, you know, our relationships are growth experiences for ourselves. Not every relationship is going to work out. Like, just think of all the people you dated and it didn't work out. If you dated a lot of people, and if you married a lot of people, it doesn't always work out. You know, so we have to look at life as a learning experience. And you can't feel guilty. If you apologize, you can't then continue to feel guilty that you ruined somebody's life and that you did something horrible. People think of themselves as failures. But at least apologizing shows that you have empathy and compassion, you have a degree of self-awareness, and that you feel that you played some part in the relationship, because these are two-way streets. Everybody plays a part in the relationship if it goes well and if it goes badly. Everybody has a place in the relationship. And lastly, if it's really horrifying, if it's unbelievable, if it's death con, and if the lawyers are making lots of money because of your divorce and you didn't go through the emotional divorce first, and there's lots of arguing and nobody's apologized and nobody has self-awareness and nobody's forgiven each other, then the person who makes more money can say this: what price will it take to end the divorce? Ask what price it will take to end the drama. And I have a story for you. So earlier this year, I was in urgent care. I found myself in urgent care a few times because I had high blood pressure. And that really makes you sick, by the way. High blood pressure really is a killer. And maybe if you have high blood pressure and it's been undiagnosed, maybe that's, you know, an issue in the marriage, because it makes us behave differently. So I'm in urgent care and they're doing a ton of tests. And the attending doctor asked what I did for a living. When I said I'm a divorce mediator, and of course there's a lot of stress, therefore high blood pressure, along with eating improperly. When I said I was a divorce mediator, the doctor who attended to me said she wanted to share her divorce story with me. She out-earned her husband. They recently got a divorce. They had a minor child. It was very tumultuous. And the lawyers were making a ton of money. And she's like, you know what? I make a lot of money as a doctor, but I'm not giving it to these attorneys anymore. No offense, attorneys. I have wonderful attorneys in my life. And they agree that the attorney should not be the ones making out. The people should keep their money, just stop arguing, let them file for you, and let's get this puppy down the road. It was tumultuous. And in order to end the filing process, she said to her husband, name your price. Tell me what you would want to end the divorce. He did, and without batting an eye, she said, okay. When she agreed to his price without negotiating, he was shocked and added in, well, I would like a vacation to Hawaii. And she said, deal is done, let's write it up, and they got divorced. So, lesson to be learned here. And thank you, Bethany, for giving us a wonderful example of a wonderful human being, high achieving, who not only was able to show us how you take a series of business experiences, some work out, some don't, and you just keep putting one foot after the other, and you keep doing and doing and doing. You have a clear goal for yourself. She was always into health. I know. How does alcohol factor into health? This is the one aside that I thought was really interesting and so disparate. And that is, this woman has truly been into health her entire life. She made her first millions on alcohol. I just find that very very interesting. So anyway, thank you, Bethany, for being the marvelous human being who you are. I'm sorry, Jason, that you are also an example here, but you're a good example, though, in that you had a job, you made money, you just didn't make as much as her. I don't know whether you wanted to hang on to her coattails. I obviously don't know what went on behind closed doors, but something did, because that short-lived marriage created a very long-term divorce and a very public display of emotion. And your daughter was not the winner for it, although I bet your daughter is strong. So I thank Bethany for giving us this example of how to deal with a marriage of with one high net worth individual, and that is think twice, because more than likely you're going to end up with another high net worth spouse along the way. I hope this was helpful to all of you. Thank you so much for listening. We're in the holiday season. We're at the end of 2021. It's our last episode of the year, and I just want to tell all of you how much I appreciated you listening. I appreciate your comments through the website. I hope this has been helpful, and we will have more and more topics for you to not only improve the divorce, to make it amicable, that's our goal, but to maybe get you to pause and think before you even get married. And maybe with this podcast, there'll be some divorces that will turn around and stay married, who knows? But I wish you all the best going forward. Have a happy, happy new year. And I will see you in 2022. And yes, 2022. And as always, have an amicable life.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Be good to yourselves, be kind to your spouse, and cherish your children above all else.